Welcome. Things might be a little bit different today. I'm just going to tell you, we've got Fred had some musicians in here, so they're kind of tearing down their setup. And so if you hear anything or see anything, that's what's going on there. But that's not going to take the focus away from what we're talking about. There's a debate tonight. I don't know if you've heard. And that's going to be going on well, just turn on the TV. It'll be there. Trust me. 8 o'clock tonight, of course, on all the news networks and the major mainstream media networks. And they will be, for this, you know, unlike last week where they had dueling town halls, they'll be in the studio together in the same place. So we'll see what happens. There's a lot to talk about, as usual, today. I was going to show you, though, the other day, the Biden bus was actually in town. And can we show those pictures as I'm talking, Mario? Okay, so this is, let's see. Well, yeah, let's do that. Yeah, there I am. And I was just standing in line. And by the way, I think they had they only announced it on Facebook, and the media found out about it. They were there. So so that's the bus, and that's a little closer to the bus. Yes. And yeah, that was on my way out. The crowd had thinned a little bit. And there I am standing in front of the bus. And that's it. Back to me. But so there we were, and I do see you know, of course, you see the Trump signs everywhere, but I think it was very telling during the Tim Ryan, Christina Hagen debate where they talked, where she talked about the 10,000 or was it 20,000 signs that had been dropped in the area. Well, gee, that no wonder I can put 5 signs in my front yard because they're all free. And I mean, in the early days, the Democrats were a little late getting their signs out for one thing. Trump, I will say, well, this is a guy who started his campaign for a second term on the first day of his first term. So he's always going to be ahead in that regard. But now you are seeing more Biden signs around because the state party and the national folks have finally got the signs out there. But I've noticed that most Biden people only need one sign. As I've pointed out to somebody, I don't care if you've got 10 signs, 2 flags, and a banner hanging across your front yard, you're only going to have one vote. So why they go overboard, I'll never know. Not to mention the guys that ride around with their flags hanging off the back of their pickup trucks. You've seen them, one American flag, one Trump flag, or one Trump flag and one don't tread on me flag. But that's those folks. But there's been the Hunter Biden scandal has been in the news, and it depends on who you listen to, whether there's anything to this. But Joe Biden finally responded to a station, and I'm not sure if that station is because the former vice president is preparing for tonight's debate, has been for the last couple of days. And he was interviewed today by a station, WISN, that is ABC 12. Out of wherever this is, but he responds to the news and about his son, Hunter Biden.
Ron Johnson put out a statement on Homeland Security letterhead saying Hunter Biden, together with other Biden family members, profited off the Biden name. Is there any legitimacy to Senator Johnson's claims?
None whatsoever. This is the same garbage Rudy Giuliani, Trump's henchman. It's a last-ditch effort in this desperate campaign to smear me and my family. Even the man who served with him on that committee, a former nominee
and
for
Mario,
the Republican
on the next
Party,
one is the 151 no stop. Okay, I guess we're back to me. I'm talking to Mario, and you caught me. Okay, so there you are there. That's what he has to say. Of course, that's what he would say, and we'll see. And there's just a lot of red flags. Do you know that if I didn't tell you the other day, Fox News was offered this information that was eventually posted by the New York Post, and they decided not to because they thought there was too many questionable elements to it. But that didn't stop the Post, which is basically a tabloid, and they are no fans of the vice president. The Post is owned by Rupert Murdoch, who also owns Fox News. But obviously, the Post has lower standards, so they decided to run with this story. Certain elements of it have already been questioned by security experts, but we'll see where this goes. This could be another nothing burger. I think everybody's already made up their mind, and you've also got to realize that millions of votes have been Oh, come on, if you want to come on. Like I said, anybody wants to move behind me, do what you got to do. But millions of votes have already been cast even before this came to light. And I really don't think it's going to change anybody's mind. I think, you know, and of course, also this week, it came to the fore that the president has a Russian bank account. So, and that was not reported in his financial disclosure. So there may be something going on there that we need to pay attention to. There's never a dull moment, though, with this administration. But this is a report from The Guardian, and the reporter's name is Oliver Laughlin, and he was down in a community called The Villages. And let me tell you about The Villages. The Villages is one of the most populated, let's call it a retirement community. That's polite. And they have 120,000 residents. And of those residents, 98% are white. And the overwhelming majority are Trump supporters. But let's take a look at the Trump supporters first. A little bit later, we'll take a look at that minority of Biden supporters. But so let's look at the interaction here between the reporter and the Trump supporters and some Biden supporters. And this is, as I said, from The Guardian.
You think Trump's going to win here?
Is that a serious question?
Beautiful. Joe Biden will drive this country into the ground.
4 years!
Thank you for not giving us the middle finger and enjoy your beach day today.
You guys fighting Biden?
Yeah.
How'd you like trying to find things in the grocery store? Because that is socialism, my dear. You ungrateful pieces of crap! Get out of our country!
So those are American voters there.
Well, obviously they don't like our country. I will say that.
They're American voters. They're Americans.
That's okay. I will tell any American. I don't care who you are.
This is going to be one of the most bitterly fought and divisive elections in American history. And I think we just saw a symbol for that right here.
American society feels like it's coming apart at the seams.
This is the most important election in the history of our country.
It's the most divided era in generations.
May history be able to say that the end of this chapter of American darkness began here tonight.
And for many people, it's not just partisan politics at stake now, but the nation's democracy itself. Donald Trump's first term in office has been marked by civil unrest, nativist immigration policy, nods to white supremacy, and by countless political scandals, impeachment, and a public health catastrophe that has seen over 200,000 Americans lose their lives. He now faces his hardest task of the past 4 years, winning re-election at a moment of national crisis.
We will make America great again.
And I guess we're back. Okay. Anyway, that was the first part of a report from The Guardian. And so there you have the enthusiastic Trump supporters. Florida is, there's even a poll that has Biden up by 1 point, but I don't know. Florida is so red. We'll see what happens there. But There have been some defections at the time of this report, which, let's see, if we're about to, this was about a month ago, and just within that month, some of the seniors in that community have shifted their allegiances from Trump to Biden. They don't feel the president has handled the coronavirus crisis as well as he could have, and I think there was a little backlash after the first debate. I think his behavior there, even some Republicans had to admit, it was a little childish, a little brutish talking over. They both talked over each other, let's be clear. But if you watch that, there's no denying that Donald Trump did most of the over-talking in that debate, including not only over Biden, but over the moderator. And by the way, Tim is up here, and he's telling me that from the first thing where Biden made his comments, that station, WISN, is in Milwaukee. So thanks for that, Tim. And Lori says she didn't get an alert when we went live. Well, I don't know. We'll look into that, see what happened. You should have gotten one if you clicked on the bell. And I know you meant a Facebook alert, Lori. Tim says, I have friends in Canada and Australia who think many U.S. citizens have lost their minds. Oh, I know that, Tim. This deep divide over politicians, there's no doubt, because I talk to a lady from Australia all the time, and she's just trying to figure out how we got here. She is fascinated by it. I've talked to some people in Canada as well, and definitely they are looking at this with bemusement. They don't know how they don't see the appeal, let's put it this way, which I don't either, but for some people, Donald Trump is it. When I see people say he's the best president ever, I can think of numerous presidents who outrank him as far as that. And not only that, even in the case of Abraham Lincoln, who presided over this country during the Civil War, his plan after the war, if he had not been assassinated, was to not be too rough on the South. Now we have a president who won't even give emergency aid to a blue state called California because he's not a big fan of Democrats. We have gone down, ladies and gentlemen. But something's looking up if you're a fan of Joe Biden. This is from CNN, and this is John King of CNN taking a look at the electoral map. But by the way, something interesting happens here. He also takes a look at his coverage from 4 years ago, and this is the scary part, and this is why some people are not trusting the polls, because his coverage 4 years ago, it's almost a mirror image of what he's saying now, but we know how it turned out in 2016.
16 days to Election Day, and here is the biggest question. Can Donald Trump change this map? Can Donald Trump find a path to victory, meaning a path to 270 electoral votes? You see how we have it right now, lopsided for Joe Biden. 290 electoral votes now, either solid or leading Biden's way. Only 163 for President Trump. So he needs to engineer a huge comeback. Look at the toss-up states on our board, plus Maine's second congressional district. Just look at these toss-up states. Let's assume they've all voted Republican before. They all voted Republican in 2016. Even if Trump won Iowa, won Ohio, won North Carolina, won Georgia, and won Florida, even if he swept the toss-up states on our board, it would still not be enough. Joe Biden would still have the lead. Donald Trump's hill is steeper than steep because Joe Biden is competitive in every one of these states. And yet, Democrats are nervous, warning against complacency, worried they have seen this movie before. 16 days out, here's the biggest question. Can you find a viable path to victory for Donald Trump, a viable path to 270 electoral votes? Well, it's incredibly difficult because of the state of play right now. We have Hillary Clinton at 307 electoral votes, Donald Trump at just 179. Takes 270 to win. Can Trump turn it around? Yes, but it would be extraordinarily hard. With us this Sunday, Lisa Lair of the New York Times and NPR's Asma Khalid. That's a little creepy when you look back at the flashback, but that is where we were 4 years ago on this day. The question, Asma, is the Biden campaign sent out this email from the campaign manager yesterday to supporters and donors saying, don't believe the numbers. Please don't believe the numbers. But one of the interesting things about this race that makes a difference is the stability. If you go back to Joe Biden's lead, this is NBC Wall Street Journal polling, a 12-point lead over Donald Trump at the beginning of the year. There you go, right there, a 9-point lead now if you play it out there. So stability in the lead. If you look at the biggest, most important voting group in America, that is women voters. Let me try to slide this one over here. Look at this. This is the gender gap, NBC Wall Street Journal numbers. It was big at the beginning of the year. It is even bigger now. So there are comparisons to 2016, but there also are big differences, including the stability of the Biden lead.
Okay. All right, let's take a look. In a few minutes, we're going to take a look at this poll just came out today, the Quinnipiac poll, most recent poll. And, of course, there are numerous polls. And the thing is, if you really want to look at a cumulative list of the polls, I would recommend realclearpolitics.com. They've got all the polls from the left, from the right, and in the middle. And then they do a composite of all those polls, and they'll give you an average. And there's not a single poll out there right now. I know we've heard it before, as Mr. King just said, but the lead that Biden has in some of these polls is much more substantial than the lead that Hillary Clinton had at the same time in the election. Also, as King pointed out, Biden's lead has been consistent. There's never been a time when Trump's been ahead. So the gap may be closing in some of the states, but Biden has maintained his lead. I know you question the polls, but let's take a, and let's do what we did before. Let me keep talking as we look at this. We may, if you can zoom in, because I know they'll be able to. If you, so I'm, is that what we're looking at there?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
All right. So if, can you get any closer than that?
I can try. Let me switch back to you.
Okay, that's fine. And I you know, that's just raw data. So I just decided to take a screenshot of that rather than try to roll through everything. That looks a lot better. Yes, sir.
Everything you need?
Yes, sir. Okay, so let's take a look now. So, and they break it down pretty good. So Biden with men, by the way, this is a significant difference. With men, and particularly white men, Biden still is behind. Biden is at 41% with men, and Trump is at 48%. And I guess there's 7% that don't know what they want to do there. But then you also, with women, Biden, 60%, Trump, 34%. Oh, that's someone else's 4%. Just anybody, huh? Okay. I'm looking at this. I copied this, but I sometimes copy stuff and send it off as fast as I can, and I don't always remember. Let's take a look at the totals, though. So that would bring, if men, women, that would bring us to 51% for Biden and 37% for Trump. So that is now that poll is as of today. And if you break it down, 10% of Republicans are Biden fans. 87% are Trump fans. No surprise there. And 86—it's the exact opposite, almost, if not more. 95% are Biden fans for the Democrats, and 2% are Trump fans. And then independents, 47%. And that's important that 47% of independents are favoring Biden as opposed to 37% for Trump. Let's scroll down a little bit. White only.
Let me switch over to
okay.
You.
All right. You can do that. Do what you got to do.
And,
all right. Yes, that's real good. Yeah. I like to, because I know we're getting into the weeds and numbers are a little bit boring, but I think it's, you know, we need to look at where, at least where they think we are right now. And Quinnipiac is pretty reliable. And you, 36% of men for Biden. Now, let's see. Is this okay, they break it down in age groups, and I like that. Let's look at it that way. We know, you know, the Republican-Democrat shakeout. Let's look at it this way. So, but among blacks, 18 to 34, 54% for Biden. I'm surprised by that. Is that correct? Hold on just a second. Biden, it's got...
Raw data.
Yeah, it's got to be higher than that, though. I mean, I think I'm looking at that wrong. I think what we're talking about there, 54%. Well, then what's the 81%? And by the way, I would think the 81% is more like it. If you remember in the last election, you know, the final tally, Trump only won 8% of the black vote. So I could see him making inroads. There are some younger people. I've met some young black Trump supporters. You know, they haven't had years or decades of being told, don't vote Republican. They're giving him a shot, or they like what they see for whatever reason. So that is something to think about. But with the older, I must be looking at this wrong, but with older Hispanics, it looks like it's 48% Biden. Hold on. This cannot be right. I hate when I hit a glitch like that. Yeah. Okay, well, it looks like to me what I'm looking at here, 65 plus, for example, 55% Biden and 39% Trump. As I said, he's lost some ground with some of the older folks because they're concerned about the way he's handled this health crisis. And let's assume 50 to 64%, 47% are Biden. That's a tie in that group, it appears. 47-47, 50-64. And we'll just leave it at that. With Hispanics, he is slightly, they've got 48% to 51. And that doesn't sound right to me either. But anyway, if you look at the national polls, and we can switch off that now. I thought I had a great idea, but, you know, that just really confused even me. So, now there, your starting point, well, that is your starting point. Yeah, okay, so let's go back to this thing I was telling you about where they talk to people at the Villages. The Villages, once again, that's a retirement community in Florida with a population of 120,000 people, and they overwhelmingly went for the president last time, but some have changed their minds. And when you got that many people, like I said, 98% are white and overwhelmingly Trump fans, the defectors are being quiet, probably just for peace of mind, if not safety reasons. But let's take a look at the rest of this report by Oliver Laughlin of The Guardian.
It's gotten to the point where it's divided. Republicans stay with Republicans and Democrats stay with Democrats. It's been tough.
Most people don't dare to say who they're for if they're not for Trump. You know, people you think are friends, maybe you learn we're more just acquaintances when you actually say who you're for.
You sound like genuinely moved and a bit emotional about it. Yeah. Has it taken a toll on you?
Yes.
I would say so.
Yeah. It's sad to watch. This is the, they advertise the Villages as the friendliest hometown, right? And it used to be like 13, I've been here 13 years, and I've seen a lot of changes. And mostly it's the last 3.5 years.
I feel like Trump's made it more hateful. That's what I feel like.
Just like in Pinellas County, we struggled to find any former Trump voters who had changed their minds. Local Democrats even told us that promises of anonymity weren't enough to get people talking. But hidden amongst those Biden campaigners, we met Dan Gert, who was open about changing his mind.
I will not be voting for Trump this time. I think what he's done, his 4 years in office, he's accomplished very little. He's lied, he's cheated. I just can't vote for him. The country needs a change. We need to get back to our moral values. And he's not the guy to do it, in my opinion.
Is Joe Biden the guy to do it?
I believe he is. I believe he is.
Trump 2020, so. Right there. Yeah.
Go Trump! Go
Trump!
No way!
No way! Don't get in an accident.
That's nice. Get in an accident is what he said to the guy. Anyway, I just sensed something. We'll get back to it in a minute. I think I've got a more a little easier to understand poll from 538, and that's what I used last time that I didn't remember. And I just want to break this down because we are getting close. I think we're less than 2 weeks now, and the election is, of course, November 3rd. We may not know for sure. If we're blessed, we'll know within a day or two, because as I've stated so many times, with this president, the longer this thing is dragged out, the more time he has to make accusations of it being a rigged election, of him being somehow cheated, where I don't think you'll see Joe Biden do that. I don't think historically you've seen any president do that. More recently in my lifetime, if you remember during Bush Gore. That was close, but neither one of those guys was out there telling their supporters to go take it to the streets or anything. But that's entirely possible with this president. I think you've seen numerous examples of that over the past 4 years. He's not worried about the collateral damage that some of his comments or tweets might cause. But yeah, let's get that up, Mario. And this helps a little bit. This is presidential approval. And it's notable that, the Rasmussen poll does tend to skew right. And what I said earlier, well, they just proved me wrong. This is the first poll that I've seen that gives Trump a 52% approval rating. And so that's interesting. But as I said, Rasmussen tends to skew right. No other poll goes that way. If you look at Morning Consult, and by the way, the numbers are, look at that. Rasmussen only talked to 1,500 people, where Morning Consult talked to 31,000, almost 32,000 people. Talking to that many people, only 42% approve of the president and 53% disapprove. Quinnipiac, and this was their last poll, not the one I was quoting today, approval rating is 41%. That's disapproval, I should say. Oh, 41% approve and 55% disapprove. And I'm going to skip down a little bit. Climate Nexus was the same thing. But just where you look at where they just line all the, if you look, all you see is blue, whether we're talking public policy poll. Now, that one tends to skew to the left, but 50% Biden. If you look at, there's Rasmussen from last week where they had Rasmussen had Biden at 48. So with that right-skewing poll, and they only had 800 people there, you look at those numbers, sometimes that makes a difference. How many people did they talk to? Because I think the more people you talk to, the better profile you're going to get. But just all the way down, Biden, 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 Biden. So it's looking good in that regard. And some of those polls tend to be right-leaning polls as well. Even in right-leaning polls, like the Fox News poll, for example, Biden is ahead. So we'll see what happens. And I'm cautiously optimistic, and I'm not an optimist. Anybody who knows me knows that. I know we don't know which way this is going to go. It's just that close. This will be another situation. There's no doubt in my mind, this president is not the most popular president. He will surely lose the popular vote. The question is, if you look at the map that John King was showing earlier, can he lose the electoral vote as well? I got a feeling there's just been a lot of registration, a lot of get out to vote stuff going on. And if you just look, you'll see interviews with Republicans who have decided they thought it was a good idea at the time, 4 years ago. But after 4 years of drama, lies, and unpresidential behavior, they've had enough. They'll take a chance on somebody more conventional, like a Joe Biden. Speaking of conventional, gee, this guy makes me reminiscent. Yesterday, while Vice President Biden was finishing up his preparation for tonight's debate, he had a former president stump for him. By the way, it is notable that the current president of the United States has had not a single former president come out for his reelection. Not a single one of the living presidents has come out for Donald Trump. But maybe that's because he's insulted every single one of them. But Joe Biden did have a former president come out for him yesterday, a guy named Barack Obama.
Republicans tried to repeal or undermine it more than 60 times. And when they've been asked about it, they keep on promising, we're going to have a great replacement. They said, it's coming. It's been coming in 2 weeks for the last 10 years. Where is it? Where is this great plan to replace Obamacare? They've had 10 years to do it. There is no plan. They've never had one. Instead, they've attacked the Affordable Care Act at every turn, driving up costs, driving up the uninsured. Now they're trying to dismantle your care in the Supreme Court as we speak, as quickly as they can, in the middle of a pandemic, with nothing but empty promises to take its place. It's shameful. The idea that you would take health care away from people at the very moment where people need it most, what is the logic of that? There is no logic.
And, you know, and that's absolutely true. Despite, you know, the president keeps telling you that he's not going to go after your pre-existing conditions. Well, as we speak, there is a case before the Supreme Court that would do exactly that. You know, they've been going after Obamacare since the beginning. And, you know, even though, and let's remember, former President Obama is correct when he says that the Republicans have been going after Obamacare since Obamacare came to be. This president has been going after Obamacare since day one. That's why he hated John McCain. He almost had it, and McCain was the deciding vote saying, no, let's keep it. Because there are some Republicans out there, like the former governor of Ohio, John Kasich, who expanded Medicaid. Some of those Republicans didn't. To this day, the state of Texas, my home state, has yet to expand Medicaid just to put a thumb in the eye of Obamacare. But unfortunately, in the midst of this pandemic, even before the pandemic, but now it's even worse because you've got down there literally millions of people out of work, and they don't have a supplemental insurance to go to like Medicaid. So they are in a big fix because Texas is the most uninsured state in the union. They refuse to expand. They decided to play politics. And you know who's getting hurt by it? Not Obama, the people of Texas. But I played a clip the other day, and we came in on the wrong part. I just want a little clarification. I used to watch the 700 Club when I was a kid, and now Pat Robertson looks like he is almost 700. But actually, he's 90 years old. But he had a little talk with God, and this is what God had to tell him.
There's going to be a war. Ezekiel 38 is going to be the next thing down the line. Then a time of peace. Then maybe the end. But nobody knows the day or the hour when the Lord's going to come back. He said, there's going to be a war. Ezekiel 38 is going to be the next thing down the line. Then a time of peace. Then maybe the end. But nobody knows the day or the hour when the Lord's going to come back. He said, the angels don't know it. And only the Father knows it. So I'm not saying this is the second coming, but I am saying there are things that people have thought would be during a millennial time with the coming of Jesus that are going to happen in our lifetime. And the next thing is the election that's coming up in just a few weeks, at which time, according to what I believe the Lord told me, the president is going to be reelected. I'm saying by all means, get out and vote. Vote for whoever you want to vote for, but by all means, let your voice be heard. But it's going to lead to civil unrest of a great proportion, then a war against Israel, and so forth and so on.
So there you go. So there, I don't know. I don't know how I missed that clip. But anyway, so there it is. He is predicting that if he heard God right, that Trump is going to win. But we'll see what happens. Because this, I'll just tell you, personally, I don't think God gets involved in politics. Because it amazes me, the people that say that God chose Trump. Well, who?
It's like we got a caller, Mo.
All right. Well, let's take that caller. But who chose the other 44 presidents? You know, so I guess God's kind of fickle when it comes to politics. He picked Obama last time, and this time he picked Trump. That's why I think God gave man and women a free will. And I think he just sits back and watches what we decide. But, you know, that's just my opinion. You're welcome to yours. I don't see anything godly about Donald Trump. I just don't see God saying, this is the man for the job.
Debbie on the line.
Okay, well, let's talk to Debbie. Are you with us? Hello, Debbie.
Yes, hello.
Well, all right. And she going out. Let's make sure we don't have what happened the other day. I had a call that I could hear the caller, but the listeners couldn't. But anyway, okay, looks like it's all good. Well, what's on your mind, Debbie?
Show. I'm so happy that you found another format. But we dropped our ballots off today, Trumbull County, and I could not believe the number of people there. It was just crazy. I mean, they had one parking lot with people dropping off ballots, and then the other parking lot was for people who were early voting. It was just insane.
Well, I'm just
so
glad to.
I hope that's.
No, I just want to say there's a slight delay. Forgive me. I just want to say I think that bodes well for the Democrats. Also, they were saying that the mail-in voting for Democrats is way ahead of Republicans. But we'll see. But is that where you were going?
Well, yeah. I hope nobody gets too complacent with it because I don't know. I am not going to feel comfortable until I see Biden taking the oath on the Bible. That's when I'll believe it.
I think there's a lot of people like that. And I think I've said before, This is going to be a very dangerous time in American history. And this is not hyperbole on my part. I feel that because of the reasons I just gave, because this president doesn't hesitate to stir the pot and that kind of thing, that even, you know, if he loses, do you think he'll just be quiet for, from November 3rd, well, the week of November 3rd until Inauguration Day? I doubt that.
No. And the damage he can do just in that amount of time is real. It's scary. It really is. I may have disagreed with other presidents' politics, but never had this level of fear.
And that's
and I just don't know what.
No, go ahead. Let me finish your thought.
Well, I just don't know what, you know, what would another 4 years of that look like? You know, if something else were to come up, another pandemic, God forbid, but I mean, we see how he totally mismanaged this one. I don't know. I just don't see how we last another 4 years with him.
Well, by the way, were you surprised the other day when he made the comment at one of his rallies that people are tired of hearing about COVID-19 when it's still a reality?
It is right. And I'll tell you, I am tired of the whole thing, but unfortunately, we are living it.
Right.
And, you know, this whole, I don't know, the entire holiday season, it's just going to be bad. It's just going to be really bad. You know, we're already seeing it work, more people coming in concerned about it. And these people that are out there taking these chances now, it's a bad move.
Yes.
It's a bad move.
I'm just glad this is not a more severe thing like Ebola or something like that, because this one thing this showed me, the American people's attitudes when it comes to this, has shown me I have lost faith in America. We should be the smartest country on the face of the earth, but we've got so many idiots that our neighbors up in Canada don't even want us coming up there, that the Europeans don't want us coming, because you know, they know we are the stereotype of the ugly American. I ain't wearing no mask. Well, those masks don't work. You know, do you want that come into your country? I don't think so. So.
Well, and how bad is it that that's the point that we're at this country? You know, when did we reach that point where you're not accepting science anymore?
Oh, I think I think we've been moving in that direction a while. I think I think it's the Dunning-Kruger complex, where people think they're smart when they're not, you know, kind of like Trump himself. And a lot of people, you know, like these people who are constitutional scholars, they only know the First and Second Amendment, but they'll talk about the Constitution. If they knew about the Constitution, they'd understand that the 10th Amendment of the Constitution gives governors police powers. So, they can shut your business down. They can require schools to be shut down for public safety. It's in the Constitution, but as I said, these guys only care about the part that says I can shoot and I can talk.
Yep, you're right. Two, they only know two. That's it.
But
well, I just, again, I really, you know, I enjoy your show, and hope you're sticking around for a while. It's good to hear. You don't hear too many voices like yours anymore.
Well, it's not over.
It's not
over. It's not over. And I hope I maybe soon there will be something happening in the radio world. I can't guarantee that, but just stay tuned. I don't really pay much attention to what's going on over there, because I actually got a former elected official sent me a text yesterday saying what's going on at my old place of employment, because man, they have gone way, way to the right over there. So I would love to come in and kind of at least bring some degree of balance.
And sanity.
Well, I think that's I'd rather have sanity than Hannity. I got you. But I do, yeah. I do thank you for your kind words and your call.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. So there's Debbie. And
bye.
And Tim says, I would love to hear from any Trump supporter how they believe they've personally benefited from his presidency. The ones I've asked can't give me a single answer, and many get mad I ask. Well, I mean, if this guy's the greatest president ever, you think they could give you something. You know, I mean, come on, look at all he's accomplished. Mexico paid for the wall. Oops, no, that didn't happen. Well, I don't know. A lot of things did happen. But the thing, you know, but let's keep it moving. This is a little more positive. And this is the latest ad from Joe Biden, notable because the narrator is a familiar voice, Sam Elliott, who is one of my favorite actors. I can't believe he's 80 years old now, but he's still got a voice, that golden voice.
There is only one America. No democratic rivers. No Republican mountains. just this great land, and all that's possible on it, with a fresh start. Cures we can find, futures we can shape, work to reward, dignity to protect. There is so much we can do if we choose to take on problems and not each other, and choose a president who brings out our best. Joe Biden doesn't need everyone in this country to always agree, just to agree we all love this country and go from there.
I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message.
And once again, pay attention, folks. There's a debate tonight. You would want to check it out. If you can. I mean, this sounds like, let's remember, the rules have changed, and they will be shutting off the mics of both people. I think one needs his mic shut off more than others, but we'll see how that goes. Also, we'll see if he tries to shout over the silent mic, because this guy cannot, he can't stand to have somebody call him out on anything. Rather than just wait his turn, we'll see how this goes. But should be fascinating. And a little closer to home is the next story. This is from September. I just found it today, but we have two people. This is from September 22nd, to be more exact, and it's a story by Lindsay McCoy of the NBC affiliate here in Youngstown, WFMJ, and it's talking about the confusion some people might have. They might think that Tim Ryan, the incumbent in the 13th Congressional District here in Ohio, the incumbent Democrat, might be that his opponent, Christina Hagan, might be related to Bob Hagan or Michelle Lepore Hagan, and she wants everybody to know there's no relation, either by blood or politics.
A crucial part to any political campaign, making sure voters remember a candidate when they go in to mark their ballots. But what if the same last name shows up twice? That's the case for Michelle Lepore Hagan and Christina Hagan this November. While they're not running against each other, Lepore Hagan wants voters to know the difference.
I'm State Representative Michelle Lepore Hagan, Democrat from Youngstown. And this is Christina Hagan Nemeth, the extremist Republican who's running a deceptive campaign against Tim Ryan.
This new commercial circulating on social media is set to air on local and cable TV. It accuses Republican candidate Christina Hagan of playing what's known in politics as the name game.
She's taking advantage of tricking people into thinking that she's a Hagan from the Valley.
The campaign for Ohio's 13th congressional seat is picking up momentum with new media ad buys. Democrat Lepore Hagan openly supports incumbent Tim Ryan in the new ad.
And that makes voting for Tim Ryan the right thing to do.
From signage to campaigning, she believes Christina Hagan isn't being transparent.
So while they're trying to claim deception and confusion, we've been very forward about who we are. We've always said we support the president. I've always stood beside my beliefs.
Both come from families with Ohio political legacies and could not be more different on the issues. Christina's married name and voting name is Christina Hagan Nemeth, but she used her maiden name during her career and does not want to change that.
I've always operated professionally by Hagan, and personally, my married name is Hagan Nemeth. However, I don't care to drag my children into the nasty, dirt-filled political arena that we see right before us.
Christina Hagan believes the ad is an attempt by Democrats to distract voters from the issues. She says it's ironic that Lepore Hagan is now serving in her husband's former seat, Bob Hagan, but Lepore Hagan tells me that she is not being an anti-feminist and calling on Christina to add a hyphen to her name as well.
By the way, that was a great report, once again, from Lindsay McCoy of 21 WFMJ here in Youngstown. Well, let's get to the elephant in the room, and apparently this elephant was reaching for his trunk. If you haven't heard, there's a scandal related to the movie Borat, which premieres tomorrow on Amazon Prime. And anyway, I'll go right to the news report, and I'm trying to remember where this is. Oh, this is Fox DC, and let's just take a look at what they have to say about this.
Yeah, good morning to you, Steve. So I have seen this film, I have seen this scene, and we can get into that shortly, but here's the story. The former New York mayor turned presidential advisors under fire for his role in the new Borat sequel. Now, the scene is in question. It was recorded in a New York hotel room back in July. Now, Giuliani was seen flirting with an actress, pretending to be a television journalist, and after the interview, the two go back to a hotel room. Rudy then reportedly asks for her contact information before lying back on the bed with his hand down his pants. Now, star Sacha Baron Cohen then unexpectedly bursts into the room wearing a disguise, breaking up the encounter. Security escorts him out. Rudy did take to Twitter after the story broke yesterday, calling it a complete fabrication. Now, he says the hand in his pants scene was edited, and he was just tucking in his shirt after taking off a microphone. He says nothing inappropriate happened, and if the star, Sacha Baron Cohen, claims otherwise, he is, quote, a stone-cold liar. Now, viewers will get to see the scene and decide for themselves this Friday when Borat 2 premieres on Amazon Prime. And Steve, I'm going to have my review tomorrow, but clearly this is a major story, and this is one of those interesting things where this is actually the end of the film, which is, you know, it's now out there. People know what's going on with it, and it's a big news story, so it's kind of become bigger than the movie itself.
And welcome back. And now let's see what the fuck. These are some still pictures. And by the way, I had never heard of this organization, but I have to give them credit. They're called a Political Pillbox, and they actually got some stills because since the movie hasn't formally been released yet, they can't show you any clips. But take a look. This is what all the fuss is about. And tell me if you think Rudy looks like he's tucking his shirt in.
According to The Guardian, Rudy Giuliani was captured on film by hidden cameras reaching into his pants and fondling himself after being invited into a hotel room with an actress pretending to be a reporter for a conservative television show in Kazakhstan after an interview. In the film, Giuliani can be seen lying back on the bed, fiddling with his untucked shirt and reaching into his trousers, according to the report, at which point Cohen's character barges in and tells the former mayor of New York, she's 15. She's too old for you. Subscribe to this channel.
Okay, welcome back. Hey, what happened? Oh, well, some people wear their politics on their sleeve. I wear mine on my T-shirt. And this is just to remind you that there is a debate tonight, and this quote took place during the last debate. I hope we don't have anything like that this time. Oh, there it is. Thank you. All right. So anyway, our time's almost up here, but as we go, I can't believe this thing only broke yesterday and somebody's already written a song. And let's listen to at least part of this as we're on our way out. The song is called Rudy, Don't Pull Your Pants Down.
You crawled upon the bed and put your fingers way down there. Were you contemplating adjusting your hardware? The writing on the wall says Trump and you are going down. Oh, Rudy, don't pull your pants on down.
I guess that's a good place to end. Well, as I said, check out the debate tonight. I'll be back with you on Tuesday. And I'm Mo Ray saying, well, first of all, I'll say thanks, Mario. I think that was a good one, except for my fumbling with the polls. But anyway, thanks. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, everybody who was watching, listening, especially anybody who called like you, Debbie. And I'm Mo Ray saying, as I always do, keep your eyes on the prize.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the word about us. Thank you.